So welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vlasi Mataji. So Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances, all the best to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and time. So now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Bharatra Madhavi Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. My humble obeisances to everyone on the call. Thank you all so much for joining and chanting so beautifully. Thanks for your association. I'm just trying to go live. Waiting for live video.
You're already live, Mataji. It's all done. No, it's there. It's there, Mataji. It's going on. Oh, it's gone.
Publish. No, I wanted to.
PTV last.
Go live. Okay. Sorry. Go live now. Okay, I think Facebook is having some issue. But the YouTube is good, so you can watch on YouTube. Facebook is somehow not picking up. I don't know why. So we'll start with the prayers. Thank you all so much for chanting so beautifully and giving us your very valuable association. We are reading from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrata. This is book 2, session number 31. And book 2 deals with the story of Gopakumar traveling all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Giram Yat Krupatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tarinam Nama Om Vishnupada Yakrishna Treshtaya Bhotale Shri Mate Radhanath Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnupada Yakrishna Treshtaya Bhotale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayat Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, thanks to everyone who joined today. And we are seeing from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrata. In our previous class, we stopped at a point where Narada Muni was glorifying various pastimes of the Lord in Rajabhumi. In our previous session, Narada Muni was speaking about the Rasa dance, and he told about how Krishna, he especially favored the gopis of Vrindavan more than any other consorts of his, even after he was married in Dwaraka. So Narada Muni, he wanted to speak about the greatest of the devotees who are the gopis of Vrindavan. And he was tempted to glorify the greatness of the gopis, not from just his realization, but he also wanted to quote what great devotees have spoken about the gopis of Vrindavan. So Narada Muni, he wanted to say in the words of Uddhava, he wanted to say in the words of Akrura, he wanted to say in the words of Bhishma, like that, he wanted to pick some great devotees and see how they have glorified the gopis of Vrindavan. So Narada, he continued to tell, he's told, O Gopakumar, this Uddhava who's here, he's so blessed with exceptional mercy of Krishna. Uddhava attained his perfection of love of God only after he went and he saw the gopis of Vrindavan. Only by the blessings of the gopis of Vrindavan, he has attained ecstatic love for Krishna. And in fact, Uddhava himself has acknowledged this fact that it was indeed only by the mercy of the gopis that he really developed the highest love for Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava himself says, सर्वात्म भावो अधिकृतो भवन्ति नामधोक्षजे तिरहेन महाभाग महान्मे अनुग्रह कृतः. He told the gopis, you have rightfully claimed the privilege of unalloyed love for the transcendental Lord, O most glorious gopis. Indeed, by exhibiting your love for Krishna and separation from him in front of me, you have actually shown me the greatest mercy. So like this, Uddhava, he was so absorbed in the company of the residents of Vrindavan that he even forgot his own previous association with Krishna, whom he had been very close to right from his childhood. So next, Akrura. He was the son of Swapalka and he was a very old man and his heart was dried up with lifeless knowledge. His heart was completely devoid of softness in the eyes of the gopis because Akrura was the one who came to Vrajabhumi on the order of Kamsa to take away Krishna. So this old man, he was actually very Krura, though his name means Akrura, meaning who is very free from all sorts of cruelty. But still, in the eyes of the gopis, this Akrura was the most Krura. Because the activity he performed was very, very Krura. He took away Krishna from the Vrajvasis. So this Akrura, when he came to Vrindavan, initially he was only thinking of the Lord's supremacy. But when even this old man, his heart was tossing and turning by describing the super excellent glories of the gopis. When he began to speak about the glories, he became completely blinded, like as if he was a madman. So as he was walking towards Krishna's home, we know the beautiful prayers of Akrura, how he was falling at the Krishna. God. I just need a minute. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So, as Akrura was walking towards Vrindavan, he was thinking so many things while he was offering prayers. He was thinking of Krishna, about Krishna's supremacy. And then when he started thinking about the gopis, he became very ecstatic. So Akrura, he glorified the gopis. He said, those lotus feet, they are worshipped by Brahma. They are worshipped by Lord Shiva. And they are also worshipped by all the demigods. Even goddess of fortune worships Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet is further worshipped by the great sages and Vaishnavas. And upon those lotus feet, he is walking about in this forest of Vrindavan, herding cows with his companions. In fact, these are the lotus feet that are smeared with the kumkum from the gopis' breasts. This is Canto 10, Chapter 38. Verse 8 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see when Akrura was going towards Krishna's house to take him away from the Vrajavasis, that time Akrura was offering obeisances and offering so many prayers on the way. That time Akrura, he was mentioning the greatness of all the devotees in increasing order. First, he spoke about Brahma and all the other demigods who worship Lord Krishna's lotus feet in the mood that these lotus feet are the lotus feet of the Supreme Controller. So why? Because Brahma, Shiva and everybody, they all worship Krishna's lotus feet because Krishna's lotus feet is the abode it is the abode for everyone and they are viewing this lotus feet as the lotus feet of the Supreme Controller. Next, Goddess Lakshmi. She also worships the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And how does she view it? She is thinking, oh, these lotus feet, they are the abode of extreme fortune. This lotus feet is the source of all great fortune. So that is how Lakshmi is also worshipping. Now, this Lakshmi that is mentioned here, she is in charge of the material opulence. She is the expansion of the original Lakshmi. Because the original Lakshmi, she's always engaged in the service of the Lord's pleasure and she is the bestower of spiritual opulence. She's not worried about material opulence. But her expansion Lakshmi, who's in charge of material opulences, she is thinking of those lotus feet as the source of all good fortune. And then the great sages, they are worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord as the highest goal of life, right? And the devotees of the Lord, the Vaishnavas, they are worshipping this lotus feet as the bestower of pure devotional service. So like this, Akrura, in order, he was mentioning great devotees who are worshipping the lotus feet, how the demigods are viewing the lotus feet, how the goddess of fortune sees it, how great sages view the lotus feet, and how great Vaishnavas see that this lotus feet is the shelter of devotional service. But however, Akrura, he is ending this verse by talking about the topmost of all the devotees who are the gopis. And he says these gopis, they are worshipping Krishna in a very uncommon way in their sweet loving exchanges, because Krishna's feet is smeared with a kumkum from the sweet relationships that he's having with the gopis. So therefore, in this verse, Akrura, he very beautifully says how the uncommon way of loving exchanges that the gopis are having with Krishna is actually the topmost. And in fact, it is the most important reason why the Supreme Lord even descended here to give pleasure to the gopis. So like this, thinking like this, Akrura, he became ecstatic. And then further in his prayers, he began thinking. He thought, when I will very soon alight from my chariot, I will bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balram. And there, those are the same feet that great mystic yogis are striving for in their self-realization. I will keep those lotus feet in my mind, and I will offer obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boys and to all the residents of Vrindavan who are giving so much happiness to the Supreme Lord. So like this, this was Akrura's prayer, 10:38-15, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Akrura continued. He said, and when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus hand upon my head. For those who seek shelter in him because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand of Krishna, lotus hand of Krishna, it removes all fear. It gives abhayam to all living entities. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, Verse 16. So after talking about the lotus feet, Akrura, he talks about the lotus hand, the same lotus hand that gives abhaya to every living entity. That lotus hand, Krishna, will put on my head. And not just that, that lotus hand is so special. He, by offering charity to that lotus hand of Krishna, even Purandara and Bali Maharaj, they earned the status of Indra, King of Heaven. So how is this? Actually, Krishna, when he accepts anything in his lotus palms from a devotee, that devotee becomes blessed. So even Purandara, who's the current Indra, previously, when Lord Sarvabhauma, that is one of the incarnations of the Lord in a previous time, when he gave water, like a donation in the palm, he offered water, that time he became authorized to become the next Indra. That is, he is the current Indra now. Even Purandara, he attained the status of Indra when he offered water in the palms of the hands of the Lord. And the incarnation of the Lord who accepted that water is Lord Sarvabhauma. And not just that, even Bali Maharaj, we all know in the Bali Maharaj pastime what happened. Bali Maharaj, he was offering water in the lotus hands of Lord Vamanadeva. And because of that, Bali, he will attain the post of Indra in the future. After this Purandara, then the next Indra will be Bali Maharaj. Now, actually, in this verse, Sanatan Goswami, he uses the term Kaushika for Purandara, Purandara's Indra. For him, he is using the word Kaushika. Now, Kaushika, why it is being referred to Purandara or Indra? Because he was a descendant of Kushika Rishi. But however, there is another Kaushika. Kushika Sutta, one more Kaushika is there. That is the famous Vishwamitra. Now Vishwamitra, he also attained great benefit. He getting great benefit because he offered services in the hands of the Lord Ramachandra. This Vishwamitra, he was the son of Gadi and he was a descendant of Kushika. So he also offered various kinds of offerings in terms of teachings of Astra and Shastra to Lord Rama. And he also offered great hospitality to Lord Ram when Lord Ram went to his ashram. So like that, even that Kaushika, even he also advanced because he offered something to the lotus hands of Sri Krishna. Now, so we see that how the lotus hands, they are helping, they are awarding all success to all devotees in their lives. But the same lotus hands, it has become most glorious because these lotus hands wiped away the gopis' perspiration and removed their fatigue during their rasa dance. And by the touch of their faces, actually Krishna's hand became as fragrant as a sweet flower. This is told in Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, verse number 17. I will read the verse again. It's a very beautiful meditative verse. This is Canto 10, Chapter 38, verse number 17 of Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, by offering charity to that lotus hand, Purandara and Bali attained the status of Indra, king of heaven. And during the pleasure pastimes of their rasa dance, when the Lord wiped away the gopis' perspiration and removed their fatigue, the touch of their faces made that hand as fragrant as a sweet flower. Such a beautiful verse. It has so many hidden things in it. So Krishna, he blessed the gopis by his personal loving reciprocations when the gopis were exhausted from all their singing and dancing. So at that time, Krishna lovingly touched them with his lotus hand and he relieved them from all their fatigue. And his hand is supremely attractive and it is capable of creating all happiness to the entire world. So in the same way, just as how a subtle fragrant flower may be perceivable only by certain types of people, similarly Krishna's beauty and charm and the lotus hands are only fully relished by devotees who are extremely dear to him like the Vrajagopis. So like this, Akrura was meditating on the lotus feet and the lotus hands, and more than anything, his focus of meditation was about the glory of the gopis who were the greatest recipients of all the love of Krishna. So like this, Akrura was glorifying the gopis from his own lotus mouth. Then, after speaking about the realizations of Uddhava and Akrura, who went to Vrindavan, Narada was reminded about the prayers of Bhishma. So Narada Muni said, even the grandfather of the Kurus and the Pandavas, that great Devavrata who had taken a vow of lifelong celibacy and strong adherence to Dharma, because of which he came to be celebrated as Bhishma, the one who has undertaken great vows, even he, although he was such a great celibate, he spoke about the excellence of the young women of Vrindavan at the time of his passing away in the presence of Krishna. See, Akrura, he went to Vrindavan. He could appreciate the gopis. He was an old man. Yes, he could. He had seen so many relationships. So he was able to appreciate the gopis. However, it is so wonderful that this great warrior, this great celibate, Bhishma Dev, who had no much idea about romantic dealings, even he was also praying the girlfriends of Krishna. So that is a great wonder. So we know the prayers of Bhishma Dev at the time of passing away. This is described in Canto 1, Chapter 9, Verse 40 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is so beautiful. It has so many, many, many hidden prayers. And each devotee has got such profound realizations which they reflect in their prayers. So Bhishma Dev, he said, this is Canto 1, Chapter 9, Verse number 40. He said, let my mind be fixed upon Lord Sri Krishna, whose motions and smiles of love attracted the damsels of Rajadham, the gopis. These damsels imitated the characteristic movement of the Lord after his disappearance from the rasa dance. So by intense ecstasy and loving service, these damsels of Rajabhumi, they attained qualitative oneness with the Lord by dancing with him on an equal level, embracing him with love, smiling with him in joking way, and they looked at him with a loving attitude. So this relationship of the Lord with the gopis is very, very special. Actually, for Bhishma, what he saw was that he saw the relationship of the Lord and Arjuna. say from his point of view, he's seeing the relationship between Arjuna and Krishna who were there in the battlefield. So he was thinking this relationship between Arjuna and Krishna is actually very, very praiseworthy. But then Bhishma was actually thinking the relationship that the gopis had is still more praiseworthy because they were so pure in their loving devotional service. By the grace of the Lord, Arjuna was fortunate enough to have the service of the Lord as his chariot driver. But the Lord did not award Arjuna with equal strength because he was sitting on the same chariot. But the gopis, however, they practically became one with the Lord, attaining an equal footing with the Lord during the Ras dance. So Bhishma's aspiration was to remember the gopis. It is a prayer to have their mercy so that at the last stage of life, he could get the mercy of the gopis and he could give up his life looking at the beautiful form of the Lord. Because the Lord becomes satisfied when his pure devotees are glorified. So therefore, Bhishma Dev in his deathbed, he not only glorified the acts of Arjuna, but he also remembered the glories of the gopis who are endowed with such great opportunities for rendering loving service to the Lord. The gopis, they are described as having equality with the Supreme Lord. But this equality should not be understood like something like Sayujya Mukti. Rather, it should be understood that the equality of perfect ecstasy of the interests of the lover and the beloved, they become identical in this state. So in the state of the gopis during the Rasa dance, their interests were equal. So because of the interests of the lover and the beloved were so identical, they attained great ecstasies. So this ecstasy, Bhishma, he was praising. He was praising the gopis for attaining such ecstasies. And when Krishna, he left the gopis in the Rasa dance, in their ecstatic madness, they became as if blind. And in that state, they began enacting the pastimes of the Lord, like as if one person became Krishna and she was trying to enact the pastime of lifting of the Govardhan hill. So like that, she was in such a trance that she became identical with Krishna. Why? Because her body started acquiring different excellent qualities as she was thinking of Krishna. And when Krishna left them in the Rasa and the gopis, actually they entered into the mind of Krishna because of their extreme devotion and their feeling of absence of Krishna from them. And because of this, because they entered the mind of Krishna, because of the separation from Krishna, imagine how beautiful Bhagavatam describes it. It says, because they entered the mind of Krishna from the separation of Krishna, they became an object of Krishna's deep meditation. How beautiful. So they had the capability of entering into the mind of Krishna, and the object of Krishna's meditation became the gopis of Vrindavan. So that is how the gopis are so powerful. The position of the gopis cannot be occupied by anyone else. They were able to capture the mind of Krishna so much so that Krishna's mind was in fact filled with the thoughts of the gopis. That's why in Padyavali, there is a very, very beautiful verse. I won't read the Sanskrit, I'll directly read the English translation. It says, even great personalities are not able to pursue your method of worship of the Supreme Lord in separation, O gopis. He is the proper object of one's meditation, but you gopis have become the object of his meditation. This perfection is impossible to attain. So this is a verse from Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. So like this, Krishna, he is the supreme goal of all the demigods. He is the goal of the great Kumaras, the four Kumaras who are celebrated as the first sons of Brahma, and they were great celibates even though they were young boys. So he is the meditation, he is the object of meditation for demigods, for the Kumaras, for the goddess of fortune. She is always in the presence of the Supreme Lord. But these gopis, they have made Krishna to think of them all the time. And they have attained what is impossible for anyone else to attain. So thinking like this, Bhishma, he was filled with ecstasy in his deathbed, seeing Lord Gopinath right in front of him. So now Bhishma, he gave such beautiful prayers glorifying the gopis. Now, Bhishma was such a learned person and he was a great Mahajan. So he could have spoken eloquently about the ecstatic glories of the gopis. But then what about the common people? What do you think their realization was? Even the women in Hastinapur, even they had the same opinion. They also had the same opinion about the gopis of Vrindavan. The prayers of the women of Hastinapur, that is also recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As Krishna was going away to Dwaraka, the women of Hastinapur, who were there in Yudhishthira's kingdom, they all went up to the terraces and they began offering prayers to Lord Sri Krishna. What did they say? They said, absorbed in the thought of the transcendental qualities of the Lord who is sung in select poetry, Bhagavatam says, absorbed in the thought of the transcendental qualities of the Lord who is sung in select poetry, the ladies on the roofs of all the houses of Hastinapur began to talk of him. This talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. So the talks, the prayers of the ladies of Hastinapur is supposed to be more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. See, anything sung in the prayer, in the praise of the Lord is called as Shruti, because you're doing direct glorification of the Supreme Lord. So anything that is sung in the praise of the Supreme Lord is called a Shruti Mantra. And Prabhupada says that there are songs of Narottam Das Thakur, who's one of the Acharyas in our Sampradaya, and these prayers, they are composed in simple Bengali language, very, very simple language. But then, these prayers of Narottam Das Thakur is considered as good as the Vedic mantras. Why is it so? It is because of the subject matter. Who is the prayers glorifying? What is the subject matter of the prayers? That becomes important. Therefore, when the subject matter is so good, it is considered as good as Shruti. The language is immaterial, but the subject matter is important. These ladies of Hastinapur, they were absorbed in the thought and actions of the Lord, and they developed the consciousness of Vedic wisdom just by the grace of the Lord. And therefore, although such ladies might have not been very learned scholars in Sanskrit, or you know, they might have not been great pundits, but still, whatever they spoke, whatever words they spoke, that was more attractive than the Vedic hymns. And in fact, the Vedic hymns, like the Upanishads, they sometimes indirectly, they are directed towards the Supreme Lord. But the talks of the ladies, they were directly glorifying the Supreme Lord. So therefore, they were more pleasing to the heart. So these ladies' talks, they appear to be more valuable than even the benedictions of valuable Brahmanas. And in fact, Sridhara Swami also, he comments, he says that the prayers of the ladies in Hastinapur, that attracted the attention of the Vedas. So the Vedas got attracted to the prayers. They were thinking, the personified Vedas and Upanishads, they were thinking, these ladies, they are speaking so beautifully, and they began to congratulate the ladies. These ladies, how could they speak so wonderfully? That is because they were connected with the kingdom of Yudhishthir, who was a great devotee. He was Haridasa. So therefore, since they were connected to Yudhishthir in his kingdom, there is no surprise that they could speak such great realizations. Also, when they were speaking these realizations, the prayers of the ladies in Hastinapur, this is in 1st Canto, Chapter 10, you can read those prayers. We'll go through a few prayers in a while. But anyway, as they were speaking these prayers, Krishna was in fact leaving for Dwaraka. Even when Krishna was about to abandon them, they were speaking such wonderful realizations. So that is so beautiful. What did they say? Some of the prayers we'll see. They said, oh friends, just think of his wives whose hands he has accepted. How much they must have undergone vows, baths, fire sacrifices, and perfect worship of the Lord of the universe to constantly relish his nectar from his lips. But the damsels of Rajabhumi, they would often faint by expecting such favors from Krishna. So in the opinion of these ladies, Krishna's queens must have disciplined themselves and worshipped them in several ways, and he must have granted the boon of becoming their husband, and they could enjoy the nectarian lips of Krishna. So, but the gopis of Vrindavan, they taste the nectar of Krishna's dealings constantly in their hearts without undergoing any such vows. Very easily, they could taste these nectarian exchanges with Krishna within their hearts constantly. Although one can attain Goloka by following in the footsteps of any of the associates of Vrindavan, like Nanda or Yashoda or anyone else, if one tries to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan, one will attain a very special perfection in which once all ambitions will be fulfilled. So that is the reason even Uddhava, he spoke one verse in the third canto. Uddhava, he had spoken this verse in third canto, which we didn't talk about. He said, the damsels of Rajabhumi, after pastimes of laughter, humor, and exchanges of the glances with the Lord, they were anguished when Krishna left them. They used to follow him with their eyes, and thus they sat down with stunned intelligence, and they could not finish their household duties. So this is how Krishna and the gopis of Vrindavan, they had extremely sweet exchanges, and the gopis would get stunned. They would just get stunned. They would just stop everything thinking about Krishna. They completely captured Krishna within their hearts. So this is Bhagavatam 3-12. So like this Narada Muni, he spoke about great devotees. He spoke about devotees like Uddhava, Akrura. He spoke about the ladies of Hastinapur. He spoke about Bhishma Dev. So after speaking like this, Narada, he embraced Gopakumar. And he was immersed in waves of love of Krishna, and he trembled and he wept and his hair stood on end. He was losing all control of himself, but still he couldn't control his tongue, which really wanted to speak over and over. And right in front of Uddhava and Gopakumar, he began rolling on the ground, thinking about the glories of the gopis, and he was shouting and crying like a madman. And then Narada, he tried to control himself and he tried to come back to normal, so that Gopakumar doesn't get discouraged. Then Narada told Gopakumar, see, whatever I told you, keep the subject matter very, very private. Don't speak about all this in front of everybody. It should be spoken only among certain devotees. It should especially be avoided in places where the Lord's opulence is exhibited. Right from the topic of the glories of Goloka Vrindavan to the topics of the gopis of Vrindavan, these topics should not be discussed in places where the Lord's opulence is prominent. Narada said that was the reason why he didn't reveal those things in Vaikuntha, and even in Dwaraka he was hesitant to reveal it, but he could reveal it only in the presence of Uddhava, in Uddhava's house. That is the only place where he could speak something about Goloka Vrindavan and something about the great devotees of Vrindavan. So Narada, he very gravely, he told Gopakumar that one can achieve this greatest abode of the Lord only by perfect discipline, by residing on Vrajabhumi on earth. Only while residing in Vrajabhumi and doing perfect discipline, one can actually attain Goloka Vrindavan. However, Narada said, not far away from here, is the Lord's abode known as Purushottam Kshetra. Jagannath Puri is there in the spiritual world. And he told Gopakumar, earlier you had visited this place on earth. The same dham is there on the spiritual world. And Lord Jagannath, he is present in the spiritual world also in the company of Subhadra and Balaram. Lord Purushottam, he enjoys similar sports that are identical to what he performs in Vrindavan, like lifting the Govardhan hill and others. And this Lord Jagannath, he is very similar to Krishna himself. So if you visit this Purushottam Kshetra in Vaikuntha or in the spiritual world, you will be able to see your object of worship, Krishna, enjoying various pastimes. Within Lord Jagannath, he told Gopakumar that he will be able to see all the different forms of the Supreme Lord, because Jagannath himself is the Lord of the universe, right? So he has the opulence of Lord Vishnu. Sometimes he also displays the pastimes of sweetness like Lord Krishna. So he told Gopakumar, maybe you'll be able to relate to Lord Jagannath, and you can see your worshipable deity Madan Mohan in Lord Jagannath. So therefore Jagannath Puri Dham is very, very nearby, and also this Jagannath Puri Dham in the spiritual world, it is very dear to the Lord. It is just like how Mathura is very dear to him. Similarly, the Lord likes Jagannath Puri also. And Krishna, he manifests both his power and sweetness there in Jagannath Puri. So maybe you should have a stop there in Jagannath Puri and take some association from Lord Jagannath and his devotees. He said, see, Shiva Purana, it confirms about the glories of Jagannath Puri. It says the unlimited, imperishable Vishnu, the Supreme Person, resides in Jagannath Puri. There, the Lord is very kind to His devotees and He bestows liberation in various ways. His devotees in Puri are liberated by remembering Him, by eating His the remnants of His food, and by making a pilgrimage repeatedly and chanting His names. Living in that abode, they give up their life air seeing Him. So this is the glories of Jagannath Puri in the material realm that is described in Shiva Puran. The same Jagannath Puri is also there in the spiritual realm. So therefore, he was encouraging Gopakumar. He also told Gopakumar that there is another verse in Sri Skanda Purana. Skanda Purana says that the same being who created all moving and non-moving creatures is present in Sri Kshetra, which is in which the Lord is present in the form of a wood, like being the soul of that entire abode. Therefore, Gopakumar, you will be able to attain the desires of seeing the Lord in Puri. So, Narada Muni was suggesting to Gopakumar that you go to Jagannath Puri, just go and try. Even if you are not satisfied after going there, what is the harm? What is the harm in going there and staying there for some time? Because this could intensify your love and your enthusiasm to achieve your final goal. Narada said, of course, Gopakumar, I know that your goal is to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Rajabhumi and worship Lord Madan Gopal. But then if you go there and if you see Lord Jagannath, you may be more inspired to go after your goal and to worship Madan Mohan better. So like this, as Narada was saying, Narada got reminded of the prime cause of pure love, which is Krishna's mercy. So he said, he began to talk about pure love for Krishna. He said, love for Krishna, it arises for a few, very few people, very spontaneously. And for most others, it is possible only through constant practice of devotional service. So just like, you know, some people, they can receive ready-made cooked food. Like you can sit in one place and you can order and you can get a lunchbox delivered to you. So some people get the food in a ready-made form. But some others, they get food only in the raw ingredients form. Like they may just get some vegetables and fruits and some rice and dal, and then they have to cook it themselves. So like that, very few souls are actually able to get it in a ready-made form. Very few souls are able to develop love for God in a spontaneous way. But most people, they cook it themselves, meaning they have to go through the process of sadhana bhakti. So when a serious person has set his aim following in the footsteps of the Gokul Vasis, his goal may seem very, very far away. First, what he will do, he will begin his endeavor in a very small way. He will try to do small services. At that time, he will have material desires. Still, material desires will be there in the beginning stages of sadhana bhakti. But then, during sadhana bhakti, if he carefully studies the transcendental truth, slowly he will be able to renounce all the unsuitable desires and he will rise above all sorts of misgivings on the path of devotional service, like fear that is born of reverence for the Lord, then having any sort of distrust in the process or having shame in performing these processes. So these things will be lingering as a person is performing devotional service. Until all this is completely given up, his real spiritual life has actually not begun. Real devotional life, he's saying, hasn't begun till that stage. So until these obstacles are overcome, a devotee will have fear and respect and not have 100% pure love for the Lord. But later, when a devotee, he begins to swim in this vast ocean of bhakti, all these superficial feelings will one by one recede, and then he is given the super intelligence of having that spontaneous friendship with Krishna. Then he will approach the Lord in the mood, considering the Lord is my child or my consort or my great friend. So to come to that platform of Raganuga Bhakti, it takes time. Okay? Sadhana Bhakti has to be performed in terms of Vaidhi, in terms of rules and regulations. So as one performs this Vaidhi Bhakti over a period of time, then all these emotions are evoked within that person by the mercy of the Lord. Only after he is giving up all these superficial feelings that are there during the beginning stages. So Vishnu Purana, it states, Ananya Mamata Vishnu Mamata Prema Samyuta Bhaktir Iti Uchyate Bhishma Prahlado Uttava Narada. When one develops unflinching sense of worship or possessiveness in relation to Vishnu and no one else to be the object of his love, such an awakening is called as real bhakti, that is being told by exalted persons like Bhishma, Prahlad, Uttava and Narada. This indeed is pure devotional service. So Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, in the initial stages, what we are all doing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Now this Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, it consists of the nine processes of devotional services, starting from Shravanam Kirtanam. When we do this, this prepares the heart of the practitioner to ultimately, over a period of time, awaken this prema. Now, smaranam or dhyana and kirtanam, which is ghana, dhyana and ghana, both of these are general methods of remembering the Lord. So continuously, one must be singing about the glories of the Lord, talking about the Lord, singing His holy names, and remembering the Lord. So when one is doing this in their Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, following the nine limbs of devotional service, over a period of time, because of the absorption of this devotee, this remembering and singing about the Lord, it will transform into Preshtha Nama Sankirtan, meaning ecstatic absorption in the names of one's worship of the Lord. So therefore, this Sankirtan is actually a very essential means of achieving Prema. If one has to invoke Prema, it is a very, very important way. By Nama Sankirtan, one can easily realize the full glories of Krishna and his pastime potency. So the quickest means to achieve prema is to stay in the company of those who know the value of it. One should stay in the company of first class Vaishnavas, and then when one chants like that, constantly chants out the glories of the holy names of the Lord, one will be able to awaken prema within his heart. Awakening prema comes by the mercy of the Lord. Okay, see, without the mercy of the Lord, prema will not be awakened. How it is awakened? When one follows the process of devotional service according to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, following the nine processes of devotional service consistently, then it will mature. It will mature at one point in time and prema will blossom in the heart. However, when such love awakens in a mature devotee's heart, he should not make a public show of his ecstasy. One should keep his prema hidden as one would conceal the topmost secret. A very crude example is given. It is from scripture only in this connection. It is said that if supposing one's mother has a paramour, one would definitely keep it as a secret. One will not go and tell it to the whole world. So like that, such sort of secretive maintenance should be there when one achieves some glimpses of prema. So a devotee actually experiencing prema wouldn't divulge his ecstasies just to establish his or her reputation among the Vaishnavas. That means the person is faking it. If one is going and telling everybody, I had this experience, that experience, then there is a problem. You're supposed to keep it as a secret. When prema really becomes fully developed, when it is fully developed, and you're not, at that time, it erupts. When real prema has completely blossomed and completely developed, what happens? It will erupt, and at that time, this person will not be able to check it from showing it out. So sometimes really such eruptions happen. Like, for example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We know how in front of Lord Jagannath, he exhibited these emotions and he fell down. And the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they came and they picked him up and they in fact kept a cotton wick and they were seeing if he's really breathing or not. So sometimes it will go beyond, you cannot control it in a very, very mature state. So that time it will erupt and it's okay. At that time it cannot be checked from showing out. It will come out if it wants to. So when Prema Bhaktas in their mature state, they have horripilations or sweating or tears from their eyes, they cannot control it. And that is the real Prema that is coming out. So, but even if others are getting certain glimpses, it is better to control it because it will not look proper in public. So it is better not to expose it if one is having glimpses of such prema. And also one should not go around telling certain things or doing it for the sake of name and fame. If one goes around telling, I had this experience, that experience, so that other Vaishnavas will respect them, then it is of no value. That is what this commentary of Srila Sanatan Goswami is saying. I'm just repeating it. Then, talking about sadhana bhakti is especially conducive when it is performed in Krishna's holy dham. One thing he said is that it is especially conducive when you perform devotional service in the presence of other Vaishnavas. Not only that, it becomes exclusive, it becomes very highly conducive when sadhana bhakti is performed in Krishna's holy dham. So when one has the great fortune of living in the forest of Vrindavan, then it is easy for him to soon develop that mature state. Pure devotional service is far different from other disciplines like karma, jnana, yoga and all this. So therefore, to avoid these processes of karma, jnana, yoga, all that is highly recommended. It is recommended to stay in a place where this devotional service is favorable, like in a dham, and it is also good to take association of devotees. See, in the initial stages of devotional service, see, strict varnashram regulations are good to follow, okay? And in fact, there could be some inclusions of jnana, like for example, distinguishing matter and spirit. All this will be there in the initial stages. But then as it matures to a much higher state of Raganuga Bhakti, all these slowly go away. All this jnana, karma, other things, they just vanish away. And the real truth of Raganuga Bhakti, which is prema, will be awakened. So only prema becomes important for, and it becomes the life and soul of such a person who has attained that topmost state. So also prema is not attained just by following jnana and karma. Therefore, it is in fact better if one just concentrates on shravanam kirtanam, which are the angas of bhakti, and not get too entangled in fruitive work or following some yogic discipline. So that is the recommended process. Bhakti yoga is always decorated by indifference to material desires. So when devotional service is performed either with one's gross body or with subtle body, one must remember not to get deviated by other secondary goals. Because these secondary goals will always be there, but one should not get deviated by that. The most important thing is that one should follow these regulative principles and just concentrate on the 9 processes of devotional service without including too many other things, then one can advance really fast. Now, having said all this about how you can advance in this process, Narada Muni, he spoke something very important. He told Gopakumar, but all this is fine. Yes, you have to follow these processes. You start with Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. You try to be in a place that is favorable for devotional service. Take association. You don't include too much of jnana and karma. In initial stages, it is fine. He said all this. And then he said something very important. He said, but you should remember one thing. The root of practicing devotional service is actually dhainya. Dhainya means humility. Humility. Now, how is this humility described? What is the definition of this humility? So, interestingly, Narada Muni, he gives this definition. He says, this dhainya is a state in which one always thinks oneself exceptionally incapable and very, very low, even when he's endowed with all excellences. Now, I'll repeat this statement and we'll analyze it. He said, dhainya is a state in which one always thinks oneself exceptionally incapable and very low, even when he's endowed with all excellences. So, when we read this statement, we should not think that this is like a quality of feeling oneself as very fallen, I'm so low. It's not like that. It is not the quality that is seen in lazy people, nor is it a quality that is seen in people who abandon work in the name of humility, nor it is applied to people who are addicted to sinful acts and who say, okay, I'm very humble and I don't want to do this. It is not about that. Narada clarifies that real humble person is one who's endowed with all auspicious qualities and he's free from false ego and he has a healthy fear of material life. So it is not this fear should be healthy. Material life, one should be scared of material life, but that should be a healthy fear of material life. It should have the positive connotation that one wants to engage in devotional service because he's not interested in material life. So this is transcendental dhainya. So this dhainya state, the transcendental dhainya state, as it, even dhainya also has different levels. So as this humility goes to the highest state, at that time what happens is that humility itself will bring about tears and other ecstatic outbreaks. This dhainya comes forth when prema or love of God reaches its full maturity, as it did in the women of Vrajabhumi when they were separated from Krishna. So this is the topmost example of humility. What is that humility? When the gopis of Vrindavan were separated from Krishna, that state of helplessness, that state of humility that they acquired, that is actually the real definition of topmost humility. This is how he's presenting it. He says, ordinarily, this humility can be developed by human effort. Right? We all try to develop it by human effort. We all say we want to be humble. How are we developing? We are trying to develop it by constant reminder, thinking that, no, I should be devoid of this false ego. I should think. I should not think in terms of I and mine. I should become humble. I should become humble. Like that, we try to train our minds, and we are doing it at a very, they can say in a material, mundane level. But actually, for that matter, everybody, all of us, we are all separated from Krishna. But we never experience this sort of dhainya that the gopis experience. Are we really completely breaking down, thinking that Krishna is not with us? No, we are all, in reality, we are separated. But do we really have humility? No, we don't have. We don't have anything. So this dhainya, why it is not seen in us, it is this transcendental level or this topmost level of humility, it is not seen in us because we do not have prema. To achieve transcendental dhainya, one must love Krishna in the same mood that is felt by the gopis of Vrindavan, who is led by Srimati Radharani, when Krishna left them to go to Mathura. The suffering that they had, the helplessness that they showed, the way they cried, from that, we can understand how the gopis are. They had real humility and they experienced that viraha bhav, that is the feelings of love and separation. So like that, at that stage, when prema appears, that is when transcendental humility also appears. So as prema appears in degrees of excellence, similarly, dhainya or humility also appears in various degrees. When one is intoxicated with prema, in the state like how the gopis, they were suffering and separation. In their state, there was no difference between pain and pleasure, meaning the pleasure was like pain, pain was like pleasure. So the difference between pain and pleasure was completely blurred for them. And a devotee in such prema, like the gopis, they lose the power of discrimination between misery and ecstasy. Whatever they were feeling, it appears to be like misery, but they were ecstatic. If for them it was like, in separation, of course they were feeling miserable. At the same time, they were feeling such great ecstasies. We discussed this towards the end of the book one. We discussed this in great detail, what the gopis were feeling. And we gave this example of holding ice. When you hold ice for a long time, what happens? Initially, you feel cold, right? You go to the freezer. Today itself, you can go pick up one ice and hold it in your hand. When you hold it in your hand, initially, it feels cold. Then what happens? It starts burning. You can't hold it anymore. It becomes numb and it burns after some time. So like that, this transcendental feeling that the gopis had, it was in a very matured state. They were feeling everything together. They were losing discrimination between misery and ecstasy. And they were completely mad. Without prema, see, ultimately, this is the goal of performing the 9 processes of devotional service. And to attain this state, that is the goal of all practitioners. And even while performing the 9 processes of devotional service, it should be done with love. It should be done with love for Krishna. If it is only done like a mechanical, ritualistic process, then it has no value. It has absolutely no value, and it is like eating vegetables without salt. How will vegetable preparation be without salt? That is how it will be if we perform Navavidha Bhakti without any feeling for Krishna, or eating an elaborate meal without any hunger. When you don't have hunger, when the fire of digestion is not active, whatever food you eat also you will not enjoy. You will not enjoy even the most opulent and delicious meal that has been cooked with love. You cannot enjoy it. Why? Because you don't have hunger. Or it is like scriptural study without any understanding. If you keep learning scriptures one after the other and you have not understood anything, then what is the value of so much of your learning? Or it is like a garden that doesn't have a single fruit. So we devotees, we all like to maintain gardens, at least those who are able to, who have a backyard or something. What is the use of that garden if that garden cannot have flowering plants or fruits for Krishna? Even one, if you have a big garden and you don't have a single flower to offer to Krishna, what's the use? What's the use of that garden? So like that, this devotional service, right from the beginning, we should have some love for Krishna. We should perform it with love. But then this awakening of prema, that takes a long time, and that will come. That will come at a mature state by the mercy of Krishna. And when we understand, when we follow in the footsteps of the gopis, we can understand how much they have experienced and what real transcendental humility is from their example. So like this, Narada, he was telling all these things to Gopakumar. But then he told Gopakumar, actually I am telling all general things. Whatever I am telling, it's all very generic stuff about the prema, and I am telling about so many things, but this is not very much in detail. And such glimpses of prema that you can see even in the residents of Vaikuntha or even in the residents of Dwaraka, they all love Krishna, they all love Lord Narayan in various ways. But you really want to see topmost love, you should go and see Srimati Radhika. You must go and see her. You must see the followers of Srimati Radhika. You must just go see how they worship Nandanandan. And that, their love, that is exceptional. That is exceptional love. And actually, who am I? I'm just one Narada Muni. I have no authority to speak on it. When Krishna left the gopis and went to Mathura, the gopis were plunged into an ocean of grief that was so intense. It was as intense as the universal annihilation. So Narada Muni, he was really scared to speak anymore. And he thought both himself and Gopakumar will lose their control and they will faint. So Narada, he told Gopakumar, if at all you go to Goloka Vrindavan, if at all you see Radhika, then you can actually see who is prema in person. You can see prema in person in Srimati Radharani. If at all she speaks to you, then you will hear about what real prema is. But even if you hear, I really doubt if you can really understand what she's speaking. It is such a high concept. So it will be wonderful if you can understand anything that she's speaking. Maybe if there is a full incarnation of Sri Krishna Chandra who can come and distribute that Krishna Prema, one who's really experienced that Krishna Prema of Srimati Radharani, if at all such an incarnation comes and teaches the world, then maybe everyone can understand. So this is a hint given by Narada Muni to Gopakumar about the future advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For us it is past, for him it was future. So Lord Chaitanya, who was the combined incarnation of Radha and Krishna, appeared to teach love of God. So Narada told Gopakumar, if at all you meet Radharani, you will be very fortunate. Otherwise, maybe if some incarnation goes, who's an embodiment of the love of Radharani, then he can come and teach what this love is all about. So like that, Narada, he told See, Gopakumar, you are very fortunate. You have received the mercy of the Lord because you were born in Rajabhumi. You definitely have the mercy of the Lord. So, to fulfill your desires, first, you need to go to Jagannath's abode. First, you go there. Then, you can go step by step. You can go to Dhauma Vrindavan, practice, and then go back to Goloka Vrindavan. But as he was saying like this, as Narada Muni was telling him to go to Jagannath Puri, Uddhava stopped Narada Muni. Uddhava said, wait, I have something else to tell you. So we'll stop here because it's time up. We have to see what Uddhava told Gopakumar, and did he go to Jagannath Puri? Did he not go to Jagannath Puri? What did he do next? We'll have to see in our next session. Or if you have another 5 minutes, I can finish off this session. I won't leave you hanging in there, and I'll finish off what Uddhava said. Is that okay?
Yes, Mataji, please go ahead.
Okay. So I just finish off this so that the surprise is not kept for too long. Okay. So then Uddhava, as he was hearing Narada Muni say all this, go to Jagannath Puri, go to Jagannath Puri. That time, Uddhava stopped in Narada Muni and he said, no. He said, actually, it's going to be a big disadvantage. Please don't do that. Uddhava, he told this Purushottam Kshetra that you're trying to go is actually Dwaraka itself. Dwaraka is beautified by the activities of the Lord, and the same Krishna is showing himself both as a controller and a Krishna who's like an ordinary person who's performing pastimes. Our own Devaki Nandan, my dear Lord, in Dwaraka is the same Lord who's residing in Purushottam Kshetra. He's just assuming a different form of Lord Jagannath, and he's standing motionless. He's trying to perform certain sports for the pleasure of the residents there. Like that, he is present there. But he's also our same Dwaraka, not only. Sometimes she's displaying opulence, sometimes he's displaying sweetness. So both Puri and Dwaraka, the same Krishna is only ruling. Actually, there is no reason for you to travel from one place to other like this. There is no necessity for you to go to this Dwaraka and actually experience, Jagannath Puri and actually experience the same thing that you're seeing in Dwaraka. In fact, if you go to Puri, you will have one disadvantage. You will see the plays of Krishna. You will see the Gokul pastimes being enacted again and again by different devotees. You will hear the songs and recitations about Krishna and Vrindavan. And this will cause you more pain, Gopakumar. You will feel more pain and separation by, when you are hearing these pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. Because in Jagannath Puri, again and again, these pastimes are recited over and over by the devotees. So your separation from your worshipable Lord Madan Gopal will be intensified. And then suddenly you will see this beautiful lotus face of Lord Jagannath. You will get the mercy of Jagannath Prasadam. You will be able to attend festivals of Lord Jagannath. And you will begin to feel very high pleasure. So again, you will be torn between pleasure and separation. Pleasure and separation. And you have already experienced this when you were there in the material world. When you were there in Jagannath Puri, when you were the king of Jagannath Puri, you have experienced all this. So the same experience you're going to have again. You'll be torn between two emotions. One side you'll feel so happy seeing the beautiful face of Lord Jagannath. The other side you'll be torn apart thinking about Madan Mohan. So the same thing is going to happen again and again. So why do you want to go through all this? And not only that, Narada Muni, he just told you, you have to develop transcendental humility. Where are you going to develop transcendental humility if you do this? You'll be torn by these two emotions and the emotion of humility will not descend at all. So don't do all this. Don't go there. Instead, I suggest something different. You go directly to Vrindavan. Go to Bhauma Vrindavan directly. And that mood of Gokul will help you achieve your transcendental goal, because humility and pure love is abundant in Gokul, and everyone is searching after Krishna in Gokul Vrindavan. So that is the perfect setting for you to go experience whatever is there, experience the feelings of Rajabhumi and develop that love of God. Don't keep traveling like this from one place to the other. So when Uddhava said this, Narada, he became very happy. He was not upset that Uddhava transgressed his idea. He was rather very delighted. He thought, oh, fantastic advice, Uddhava. You did a good job. Uddhava, this advice is the perfect thing.
actually you know the glories of Gokul better because you have gone to Gokul and you have experienced all this firsthand. So you are giving very good advice to Narada. So as he was, Narada, a very good advice to Gopakumar. So as Narada was saying this, very good, very good. At that time, he was hearing the chirping of beautiful birds and he understood that this is an auspicious sign. This is an auspicious sign for Gopakumar to actually go down to Bhauma Vrindavan. So Narada told Gopakumar, Gopakumar, right from the time I saw you in Vaikuntha and in Dwaraka, I could understand that your desired goal is Goloka Vrindavan. But all this travel that you did through so many places occurred so that you could deepen your love for Madan Gopal. You could understand what is the super speciality of that Madan Gopal. And when you were traveling through all these places, you were very naive and you were discovering the presence of Lord Achyuta in all the planets that you have visited, in the presence of Madan Gopal everywhere. So now, quickly, you go to Vrajabhumi in Mathura district and fulfill all your desires that you have been holding for so long. Surely, with your spiritual practice there, it will take you to Goloka Vrindavan. This world, Goloka Vrindavan, is beyond this Vaikuntha realm, beyond this realm. Gopakumar, please, it's time for you to go. But then Gopakumar, he had a desire to take permission from Dwarkanath, because remember, he's in Dwarka, right? So he wanted to take permission from Dwarakanath to leave. At that time, Uddhava saw him. Uddhava could feel that this Gopakumar is having a desire to go ask Dwarakanath for permission. So Uddhava, sensing what was there in Gopakumar's heart, he told him, it's okay, Gopakumar, to go to Vrindavan. You don't need the permission from Dwarakanath. In fact, Dwarakanath will be so happy that you're going to Vrajabhumi. In fact, direct service to Lord Dwarakanath doesn't bestow that sort of love when one merely resides in the land of Vraja. The kind of love that one experiences when he just resides in Vrajabhumi, that is not a match to direct service to Dwarakanath. Uddhava said, see, I spent so long in Vrajabhumi. I spent some lot of time in Vrajabhumi. Why do you think I spent all that time in Vrajabhumi? It was just to experience that love. Just to experience that love, I stayed with the Vrajavasis. So I'm sure that our Dwarakanath knows your desire. So he's Krishna himself. And why would he, you know, you don't need his permission. Rather, I will tell you what, this Dwarakanath himself will personally carry you and put you there in Vrindavan. So like this, when Gopakumar, he heard these nectarian words of Uddhava, he just closed his eyes for a moment in so much happiness. At that time, as he closed his eyes, he could feel that someone was carrying him. And then the moment he opened his eyes, he found himself in Bhauma Vrindavan. Yes, indeed, it was Dwarakanath himself who carried him and put him there in Bhauma Vrindavan. And it was good that Gopakumar kept his eyes shut, because if Gopakumar had opened his eyes, then he would have again looked at Dwarakanath and got attracted to him again. So it was good he closed his eyes and he was very, very beautifully, with Krishna's own lotus hands, he was lifted and put into Bhauma Vrindavan. So this completes the chapter 5 that is called Prema, Love of Godhead, Book 2, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So with this, we are done with chapter 5. We just have 2 more chapters to go, maybe another 20 sessions, I don't know, because the book is really big. But we will soon discover more about what kind of sadhana he did in Bhauma Vrindavan, more about Bhauma Vrindavan, and then we will go and see Goloka Vrindavan with Gopakumar. So any questions, comments, realizations, corrections, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the class. It was so beautiful. And thank you for not leaving us with the cliffhanger, because Uddhava's nectarian words were certainly the sweetest part for me. So thank you. I just wanted to ask you about two things that you said in regard to humility. Because I was taking notes and I missed a couple of things. One of them was your statement, kind of a definition of humility. It's a state where one always thinks oneself incapable and very low, even when endowed with, and I missed the last part.
Oh, okay. Let me read that directly from the word. Endowed with all excellences.
Oh, wow. Okay, all excellences. Thank you. And then the other... Oh.
Excellences and auspicious qualities, yeah.
Oh, and auspicious qualities. Okay, and then the other thing I wanted to ask you about was you mentioned kind of three symptoms of a real humble person. The last one was one who has a healthy fear of material life. And what were the other two? I think one was maybe devoid of false ego.
Yeah, free from So however, Narada clarifies that a truly humble person is endowed with all auspicious qualities and he is free from false ego and he has a healthy fear of material life. So this is transcendental dhyana. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you again so very much for a beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Tiffany Mataji. Thank you so much for your association and your kind words. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji. Thank you so much for covering and, you know, not letting the surprise go on lingering for another week. Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, so immediately when he was, I said, okay, now she didn't have to stop. She has to continue no matter what. But thank you so much, Mataji, and thank you for covering so many aspects of dainya, humility, and the love of gopis, and the love of dwarkas, and how wonderfully you were telling. And even we could notice that the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is full of this vandanam, you know, prayers by so many exalted devotees. And how you were telling that just the normal talks, the normal conversation of the ladies of Dwarka and Hastinapur were considered as much more greater prayers as compared to the Vedas and the hymns that have been chanted. So it's so beautiful. Mataji, I have one question. I haven't understood it. I just want you to repeat again. So Uddhava, go to Jagannath Puri. So one reason I could understand that, you know, it's because then again he'll be attracted to Jagannath Puri, the Lord of Jagannath. And because he said that the Lord of Jagannath is the same as the Lord of Dwarka in the opulence. But what another reason that he shared that I missed?
What he was saying is that this Dwarkanath and Lord Jagannath, both of them are showing some opulence, they're also showing some sweetness. So there is no point going there to experience something different. And also, once you go there, you're going to be experience the same thing that you experienced previously. One side, you will be seeing that again and again, the people there, they will be enacting the pastimes of Krishna's leelas in Vrindavan, because that's what was happening in Jagannath Puri, right? In the form of art and dance, they were coming and performing these pastimes. One side, you will be thinking about Krishna and you will be torn apart by that feeling of separation from Madan Gopal. On the other side, you will see the beautiful face of Jagannath because it's so attractive. You will be seeing that beautiful form of Jagannath and you will be, you know, enjoying Mahaprasad, because Jagannath Mahaprasad is so powerful and so sweet and so nice. So you will be enjoying the Mahaprasad and you will... what else? And you will be enjoying festivals. So that will keep you so happy. So now you are again experiencing contradictory emotions and you'll go crazy, like how you went crazy when you were there in the material world. So same feelings, why do you want to experience? You've done with all this. So you have seen all this. So now you proceed further and you go to Bauma Vrindavan, do your sadhana nightly and then go back to this Goloka Vrindavan.
Thank you so much. Now I could relate and remember that when you were discussing about the Bahuma Leela, about Jagannath Puri, that how it was so difficult for Gopkumara to leave Jagannath Puri. Every day he used to come and when he'll see the face of Jagannath, he'll get mesmerized. And finally, I think so he met his Gurudev at the banks of the ocean. And there he was. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji, for taking us on this beautiful journey. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for remembering and saying all these beautiful realizations after listening. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. All glory to Prabhupada Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Preet Vilasini. Beautiful class. Beautiful I had a question. When you were speaking about in Jagannath Puri, the Jagannath Puri in Vaikuntha, this Purushottama Dham is when he's talking about in the Jagannath Puri in the spiritual world. You were saying, yeah, okay. And he said, I think I got lost somewhere in there. Okay, and so you said something like, all the pastimes of the Lord, like him lifting Govardhan Hill, happen in the spiritual world, in Jagannath Puri, right? Is that what you said?
Yes. From time to time, Lord Jagannath exhibits these pastimes for the sake of his devotees. Yeah.
Okay, so my question is, so does that mean that the childhood pastimes are taking place also? I mean, the other childhood pastimes, meaning like killing of the demons?
No, it just that book, I'll just tell you what was told. I'm just going to repeat the same thing. Just a few, Mataji. They just say from time to time, he shows these pastimes to encourage his devotees, that's all. You know, like how you see in the Vaikuntha also, the Lord would take different forms to encourage his devotees. Different forms and different pastimes he would exhibit from time to time just to encourage them like that. So, here it, yeah.
And since this is Dwarka is, but Dwarka is, sorry, Jagannath Puri or Purukshetra, I guess my question is Purushottama Kshetra the same name in the heaven, in the spiritual kingdom as it is here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's called Purushottama. Okay, Purushottama Kshetra. And so Purushottama Kshetra and Dwarka and those are all on one level. And Goloka Vrindavan is kind of in a different level, right?
Yes. And the other point was from time to time he does show them just to satisfy his devotees sometimes, but then he also, the artists who come and they perform in front of Lord Jagannath, right? So they also do pastimes and they get reminded of the Jagannath.
Okay. And the other thing I was thinking is when you, and I can't remember why, you were explaining how he does only these pastimes in, you're explaining something about you did only when they are in a certain company. I can't remember some of the intimate dealings. I can't remember why I think, but I was just thinking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Acharya and how only in Advaita Sangam, you know, in Shiva Sangam, right? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would exhibit his mm-hmm. you know, his ecstatic symptoms.
Yeah, right.
So I was just thinking, that just came to my mind when I was thinking about that, just kind of correlated those two for my mind immediately. Thank you.
Yeah, that's why he says, right, I think you're relating to this point where Narada's telling, I wouldn't talk about these things in any other place. Because in a place where opulence is prominent, because they will mistake, they will not understand. Sweetness, yeah, it's very hard for them to grasp.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. And so I immediately thought of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime in Shiva Sangam, that it wasn't in front of everybody, it was in a private place because they would be misunderstood. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Paneshwari Mataji, for connecting all that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandav Pranam, or Krishna Shri Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji.
Hari Bol, Shama Gauri Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Yeah, I always love the Brihad Bhagavatamrita class. It's so good.
Yeah, really, yeah. All glories, Mataji, all glories to Sanatana Goswami. Very, very sweetly done. Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Priti Virasini Gopi, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. How nice you are letting take us in Sridham Vrindavan Dham, Shishi Dwarka Dham, Shishi Jagannath Puri Dham. So, so nectar in class, Mataji. No words to your seva. Hare Hare, Gauranga, Dandavat.
Dandavat, Suranda Gopika Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat
Pranam. Randa Mataji, Dandavat.
Thank you so much for the very beautiful and nectarian class, Mataji, as always. Very, very nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and Randa Mataji, for being there for all of us, giving us your association.
Yeah, and I know, like, I was hearing that Narad Muni was saying for Kumaras that please don't share this knowledge with anyone. Like, that's what he said to them, right?
Yeah.
But see how the books and everything, we know all that conceptual knowledge. So and cool. We hear it from the devotees like you. Your devotees are like, so wonderful, so wonderful. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Yeah, thanks. And I was also thinking, as you were saying, that's why, because we are fortunate because Lord Chaitanya came and then his associates like Sanatan Goswami came and then they gave it to us freely. We are so fortunate.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Mataji. Looking forward to your next class.
Thank you, Brenda Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Adding one point, Mataji, that Dwarka Dham, after that, in the Dwarka Dham also there is a big Dwarka. There, Lord Krishna and Srimati Rukmani Rani is with all Maharanis taking rest. And Sisi Jagannath Puri Dham, Bhagwan is eating prasadam. And in Chardham Yatra, I forgot that particular place, there is a Chardham, four Dham. Lord Krishna is given Kedarnath Dham, Badrinath Dham, and two more Dham, Uttarakhand. So there, Lord Krishna is given a darshan. And in Rameshwaram, I forgot, there also one Leela. Hari Hari, Gauranga, Ganvat.
Thank you, Mataji, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Yeah, even I remember this. Yeah, in different places, the Lord is doing different things, right? And one place he's eating, one place he's sleeping. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for adding that. Very, very sweet.
We can see in the Rameshwaram Dham, there is a two Bay of Bengal and there is a two Samudra is meeting to each other. So there is a way. So Radhanath Maharaj take us in a Yatra. Morning 6 to 12, there is a one side Arbi Samudra is like a blue color and one side is like a black color and the middle is the road, and after 1 o'clock they match each other. So there is a test because we are 4200 Vaishnava and Radhanath Maharaj takes that place where Lord Rama is coming from Lanka, and that time they make a small shivling because Ravan is worshipped for Lord Shiva. So they Lord Rama, Sitarani and Hanumanji and Lakshmana is make a small spatik white shivling, and then they worship them. So if we made any mistake, please forgive us. So there is a very challenging thing. Radhanath Maharaj is sitting there because almost 130 devotees are there. So that was a very nice experience in all the South India Yatra's temple. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Priti Vilasini Gopi, Hare Krishna.
Very well. Thank you so much for sharing, Mataji. Thank you.
Yeah, those series, those lectures, they're all very beautiful. Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, in 2007, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Vanda Gopika Mataji.
Hare Krishna Preeti Vilasni Mataji, thank you so much for beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you.
Thank you for nicely narrating.
Hare Krishna Preeti Vilasni Mataji, your class is very beautiful.
Thank you for your auspicious words, dear Vanda Bibi. Thank you.
One more thing I want to add. Mataji, I just worship Tulsi Maharani that this year Tulsi Maharani has come to my house, not come to my house. And yesterday I have seen that there is 100 Tulsi Maharani's small plants already.
Wow.
And there is a more 9-10 my Prabhuji also plant that also like very small, tiny, but every day I pray to Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani, why not coming to my house, why not coming to my house. So this is the mercy of Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani, Shri Prabhupada Srila Gurudev.
Jai, so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you, Mataji.
Very, very tiny Tulsi Maharani came.
Yes, send us pictures, Mataji. We would love to see.
Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I just had a question completely out of topic, but I haven't heard of Gomodiki Mataji in the class lately. She fine?
Yeah, she was in India. She told us one day before, and then she told us that she'll be in India till the end of, actually April or May, she said. But now, because of the COVID, I don't know when she's coming.
Oh, yeah, Mataji, right, okay.
Gomodiki Mataji is in Vrindavan. She's in Vrindavan now.
Jai, that's the best place to be now.
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, I spoke to her last week, and she said like she cannot go anywhere now because of the lockdown. So she's like there in Vrindavan.
In the dam. Lockdown in dam.
Yes. So I think Krishna arranged her to be there.
Thank you, Vrinda Mataji, for the update. Thank you.
Oh, no problem, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dankavas pranams. All glories to Guru and Gauranga. Nice class, Mataji. Really enjoyed all the pastimes that you were talking about, especially the last part on humility and the love of gopis, the love of Dwarakavasis, and how Narada convinced him to go to Vrindavan, enjoy the pastime. Experience the feeling of ecstasy in Vrindavan after understanding all the intricate stories that he has mentioned. I think he will have even more joy because of the pastimes that Narada narrated. So this time his experience will be completely different than before.
Yes.
More feelings of ecstasy. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Radhika Mataji, for always adding and very, very sweet realizations. Hare Krishna. Okay, so then if there are no other questions or comments or realizations, we'll end the call. Thank you all so much for joining and giving us your very valuable association. Vancha Kalpataru Vesha Kripa Sandhu Devacha Patitanam Pamanetu Vaishnavedhyo Namo Namaha Ananda Koti Vaishnavranda Ki Jai Shla Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Brihadbhagavatamrata Ki Jai. All glory to the humble devotees Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Preeti Vilasni Mataji Ki Jai. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Okay.